As I said, this past week I've been reading in the book of Mark. This weekend I was reading in Exodus, and but I come across this, and I thought, well, this would might be a good message for tonight, as we showed the VBS slide and the children and so forth. Before we read the scriptures, D.L. Moody, he held an evangelistic conference or meeting and was asked about the results. He answered, there were 2.5 that were saved. And the adult said, you mean, or the person that asked the question, you mean 2 adults and 1 child? He said, no, I mean 2 children and 1 adult. It's great to see people saved no matter how old or young they are, but let's remember, children won to the Savior have a whole lifetime ahead of them to serve. Now, again, like I said, it's great for everybody to get saved no matter what age, but let's not think of children as a bother or less important. We're going to talk about that tonight. Let's pray, and then we'll read the scriptures here, and we'll get into this. Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for the Vacation Bible School program that we're able to do each and every year. Father, thank you for the 3 young girls that were saved. And Father, thank you for the many boys and girls who heard the Word of God and heard the gospel. Father, we do want to be careful. We don't want to just push them into making a decision. We want them to be ready. And Father, we know that as we have Vacation Bible School and as we're teaching these children, that we are planting the seeds of the gospel. We're planting the Word of God in our hearts and lives. And Father, we know that the Holy Spirit has to cause it to grow and take root in their life. And so, Father, we ask you to do that. And many of these boys and girls come year after year, as long as they're of age to come. And Father, we don't know where they all end up, but we know many of them are even from nominal Christian homes. Their parents do go to church from time to time. So, Father, I look back on my own life when I was a young man, about 10 or 11, and my brother in-law and my sister-in-law encouraged my mom and dad to go to church, and we went to church, and as a result, somewhere, someplace, I got a gospel tract, read it, was saved, and Father, my mom and dad were not super faithful all the time, but Father, I'm very thankful that they took me to church. I'm very thankful for the things I learned as a boy, and I'm thankful, Father, that I'm saved tonight. And I just ask you now to help me tonight as I preach this message. May it bring honor and glory to your name. May it help us with what we think. In Jesus' name, amen. Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. Let me read that. It says, and they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. For when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer. Or allow the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. The disciples made the mistake of neglecting or limiting the children. The disciples and our Lord were very, very busy. And as a result, it appears the disciples didn't want to be bothered by the children. Let me give you a couple of verses just to give you a little idea how busy they were. And you don't have to turn there, but in Mark chapter 6, verse 30 and 31, it says, and the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. The disciples were busy. The scriptures say they didn't even hardly have time to eat. Are you that busy? Many were coming unto them. Remember, they were given the ability to heal and do different things, and a lot of people were coming to them, and they were so busy. And Jesus said, you know what, let's take some time away. By the way, I think that's important from time to time to get away and relax a little bit. See, God's not he's not against us doing that. He wants us to serve Him, but He also realizes we can get so busy and so occupied with things that we just need to take a little bit of time to get away from it all. You can wear out if you're not careful. And He was concerned for His disciples. He said, hey, let's go into a desert place. Let's go to a place where nobody's around. Let's have some rest. Let's have some quiet time. So they were busy. Our Lord was very busy as well, and the disciples knew that. In Matthew 9, verses 35 to 38, it says, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when He saw the multitudes, there was multitudes upon multitudes. In fact, they were thronging Him, the Bible says, at times. He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then He said unto His disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. Listen, what was Jesus saying? Yes, we need to pray for laborers to go out there and be witnesses and win souls. But He was also, in the statement He's making here is, hey, the work is great. Pray that we'd have more people to help. Jesus was asking them to pray that they would get help. By the way, the church today needs helpers. We need people who are willing to work. That's why we're here. And so we all need to pray that the Lord would send laborers into His harvest. That is, you know, going out witnessing, teaching children Sunday school classes, working in the nursery, whatever it may be. The work is great. And much could be done. But I realize we can't do it all. I don't think God expects us to do it all. I think He expects us just to be busy working, and we need to make good use of our time and so forth. We're not to overdo it. We do need to take time off and so forth. And that's why it's good to get away, vacation every once in a while, just to get away from it all. But the disciples, they rebuked the parents that were bringing these children. They didn't want to be bothered. They thought possibly children weren't that important. I mean, after all, we've got all these diseases and all these people hurting and so forth, and we don't have time for these little children. Let's make sure we never feel that way. I want you to notice my first point, the coveted touch, verse 13. It says, I'll read it again. In verse 13 it says, and they brought young children to Him that He should touch them. The verb brought is in the imperfect tense, implying they kept on bringing their children. Probably the disciples have told them before, look, we don't have time for all these children. But they just kept on bringing them. In fact, it's obvious the disciples were wearied with what they looked as a constant interruption. By the way, children can interrupt things, can't they, sometimes? But, you know, I remember a preacher of years ago. He's home with the Lord now, but he had a decision to make, and they ran lots of buses. But he said, you know what, I'm going to keep running those buses. Yeah, the children are a lot of headache and so forth, a lot of expense. But he said, we're going to keep running buses. We're going to keep picking up children. And God greatly blessed His church. You know, I wouldn't agree with everything, but again, here was a man who didn't look at children as a bother. He looked at children as lost souls in need of a Savior and that he cared about. The disciples rebuked these mothers. It is to reprimand in the imperfect tense, suggesting that they were not very successful in persuading the mothers to stop. The mothers and the parents, whatever, were determined. They were just determined, we're going to get our children to the Lord. We're going to let the Lord Jesus Christ bless our children. May we be determined to bring children to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. May we never see children to be an interruption, but may we continue to reach out to children. There are people who today don't think children can understand the gospel at an early age. They can. However, I do want you to be cautious with that. Here at Mount Zion Baptist Church, we like to be very cautious. We don't want to rush the children to make a decision. That we have some materials on how to do that and so forth. If you ask, you ought to ask children questions. They ought to be able to answer you back so that they understand. And we don't want to just have them pray a prayer and they not understand what they did. So I'm not advocating that. I'm saying we need to be patient. Parents, you need to be patient with your children as well. But children can get saved at very young ages. Pastor Schweitzer was saved at a very young age. Maybe some of you were saved at a very young age, and maybe you don't remember everything, but you know, your parents, I know our three children, I think all three of them were saved at home, and they were pretty young, and of course they're not perfect, but anyway, I really do believe that they're saved, and so we can win children to the Lord. The parents wanted Jesus to touch them. The second thing is the confronted trouble in verse 14. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. The word is rendered in different ways, meaning to feel pain or to be indignant. The disciples thought the master's time was much too important to be bothered by little ones. Jesus, on the other hand, thought the children were too important not to be brought to him in their tender years. May we feel the same way. Children are much too important not to be brought to church, to vacation Bible school, to Sunday school, and to church. The disciples rebuked the mothers, but Jesus rebuked the disciples. Statistics, and you've heard this before, shown that more people are saved as children than those who are older in life. Children are very impressionable. Children are great believers. They believe what you tell them. And therefore, we need to be careful that we always tell them the truth. We're going to get to that, to the last point that I have. A child's heart is tender and trusting. May I stress the importance of bringing children to church when they're young, before they're hardened by the world? By the way, being in children's ministry for most of my ministry, I see a great difference between children who are more in the world than children who aren't. And what I mean by that, and I don't mean any harm to you if you have your kids in public school, but I have seen a huge difference between children that are in public school and children that are homeschooled. Because you know what? You and I have been in public school, you know what it's like. And today it's far worse than when you and I were in public school. And so, we need to get our children grounded and to get them to the Lord and grounded at a very young age. Parents, you must be a faithful and godly example. Guard your home from worldly influences. By that I mean TV. How many of you, I remember somebody saying this one time. Years ago, my wife and I used to watch a good bit of TV ourselves. And we decided many years ago that we were going to watch very, very little TV. And sometimes didn't watch TV hardly at all. And then we would be at one of my in-laws' place or something like that. They'd have the TV on, and we were appalled. We're like, wow. You know, if you turn that TV off for a while and keep it off for a while, and then later on, you turn it back on, you'll be appalled at what's going on. All the innuendos. I mean, it's very, very, very worldly. And so you want to guard your children from that, parents. Internet, cell phones. Children at a very young age are getting smartphones. I know Pastor talked about that a little bit in one of his Sunday night lessons that he had up there. But listen, your child does not need access to the internet that you don't know about. there's a lot of dangers out there in the internet. I'm sure you know that. Guard them from that. Guard them from the internet. And surely don't let them have a cell phone. You know, there's so much stuff on the cell phone now today I don't even know about. I mean, I know a few things on the cell phone. I definitely know how to operate. I know how to get in on the internet, and I know how to put apps on my phone and so forth and all that. But there's apps or applications, if you will, that you and I don't even know about, know how to use. But I'll tell you one thing, the children learn them. And they're on this stuff. Listen, we deal with it here even in the church some. That's why Pastor taught on it. Some of the things we find out, it's dangerous. It's also significant that the followers immediately after the Lord's teaching on divorce. If you'll read right here, look up a little bit, chapter 10, verse 1. It says there on the top of my there, marriage and divorce. And we don't need to talk about that tonight because that's not the thrust of my message. But isn't it interesting that right after the disciples, there arose from thence and cometh unto the coast of Judea by the far side of Jordan, and the people resort unto him again. And he taught them again. And the Pharisees came to him. That's right, the Pharisees, not the disciples. And they asked him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife, tempting him? And on they went. And interesting that right after that, Jesus talks about children. By the way, our Bible is put together by God, amen? Did you know, and you know this, divorce is a terrible destroyer of children. That's why it's so important that husband and wives have a good relationship. Guard that. Make sure your children see that mommy and daddy love each other and committed to each other. I just had not too long ago somebody that got upset in the home, and some words flew. And guess who got scared? The children. They were afraid mommy and daddy weren't going to stay together. And it was not a very good situation. Listen, your children ought to be able to say, you know what, I know mommy and daddy love each other. I have nothing to worry about. My home is secure. Divorce is a terrible destroyer of children. Let me give you an illustration. My sister, who invited my mom and dad to church, her and her husband got a divorce. She was very, very careful in what she taught her children. They were faithful to church. And her daughter and her son, she had two children with her first marriage, and taught them the Word of God, got them to church and so forth. But my nephew today, because of his parents' divorce, I believe, is very bitter, and he's an atheist. And listen, I don't think he's an atheist because he doesn't believe there's a God. I think he's an atheist because he's mad at God. All because of what happened to his mom, his mother and father. Listen, this divorce will destroy your children. I don't have to tell you this. You know this. Guard your home. Make sure you don't have bad influences in the home, parents. Children are very, very precious to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want the last thing tonight is the confirmed truth, verses 15 and 16. It says, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. We must all come to Christ in simplicity, sincerity, and eagerness of a little child. You know what? You can put a child, Brian has two little ones, you can put a child high up above you and say, jump. Luke, daddy will catch you. Will he jump? Every time, right? They're so trusting. And you know what? We need to be trusting of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When Jesus tells us to do something, you know what? We do it. We should do it. We have faith in him. I remember Daryl Champlin, I think it was, he talked about, I forget the message, but I still remember the illustration. He's talking about somebody in a burning building and there's firemen on the ground. And the fireman says, jump. And he said, these two firemen were down there to catch this person. They said that they were big men. Anyway, use the illustration. You know what? We have a big God. Our God will catch us. We can jump. Whatever God tells us to do, we can do it. We need to be trusting. Paul said, I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And so we need to come with childlike faith. Parents nowadays will teach their children the farce of Santa Claus, Easter Bunny, Tooth Fairy, and allow other detrimental influences, but fail to teach their children the one true, all-knowing, all-powerful, omnipresent, eternal God. This, I grew up believing in Santa Claus. My parents were not saved when I was young. They didn't get saved until later on in life. I was probably 10, 11, 12 years old when my mother and father accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. I'll never forget it. I was on the school bus, probably first grade, and there was a farmer that lived up the street from us and their boy, and they were believers, and they were from the Mennonite faith, I believe, and I was on the bus, and I don't know what we were talking about, but somehow or another we got on Santa Claus, and he looked at me and said, Santa Claus isn't true, it's a story. And I was like, really? Let me tell you something, you folks are Christian, don't teach your kids that they're, you know, it's okay to celebrate Christmas, but Santa Claus is an antichrist. You know what I mean by that? He knows whether you're good or bad. No, he doesn't. Only God knows that. He can do the impossible. He can deliver all those gifts on one night. And as big and as heavy as he is, he can get down your chimney. He's an antichrist. Don't teach your children anything about Santa Claus. Don't teach them there's a tooth fairy. There's no tooth fairy. Don't teach them that there's an Easter bunny. There's no Easter bunny. It's Resurrection Sunday, and it's all about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Teach your children that. Teach them this is why we go to church on Resurrection Sunday. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. They buried him, and he rose again the third day, and we celebrate that. Easter Bunny, that's a fairy tale. That's what the world does. Is it wrong to let your kids be a part of a, what do they call that? Easter egg hunt? I don't know if it's wrong to do that, but make sure they understand that it has nothing to do with Easter. And then, how about Halloween? Don't let them be a part of that. Halloween is a satanic holiday. Learn the background of it. There's a lot of evil things that go on around Halloween time. Don't let them be influenced by these worldly things that would be detrimental to their faith in Jesus Christ. Let us as parents, grandparents, and teachers allow our children and to allow our children and other children to get as much exposure as possible to the one who will forever bless them. Jesus Christ was willing to take those little children up in his arms and bless them because he thought children were important. He knows children are important. And you and I ought to see the same thing. Listen, folks, that's why we need to be in the Word of God, and we need to teach our children the Word of God. I wish I'd have done a better job of that as a parent when my children were younger. I wish I'd have known what I know now. My wife and I want to start a new program on a Wednesday night. So the Master Club, we want to do something where we're, and she has a lot of the work done. She's probably going to give that out to you parents soon. But we want to encourage the children to be in the Word of God on their own. We've got some devotionals that we want to make available for them and so forth. I think it's going to be a good program. But listen, parents, love not the world, neither things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Listen, love Jesus Christ with all your heart and get your children to church, get them in the Bible, be an example to them. And be careful what you allow in their life, because it could be very detrimental to them if you're not careful. Jesus loves your children, and He loves you and me as well. Let's do all we can to help the little children. Listen, how many of you grew up in church as a little child? All your life you've been in church. Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that a great blessing? And I'm sure it had a great impact on your life. I know it has an impact. It has to have an impact on us. Okay? All right, I hope that's encouraging to you.